Before you left, we left the invitation open. Anytime you're here, you have a seat, you can sing, or you can stand up. Someone else will play, you can sing. It's still there. Thanks. Thanks for singing. Thanks for being with us. Alvaro, maybe next time you could sing too. We look forward to that. I know some of you are thinking, Paul, that's a tough act to follow, to preach. I'm smart too. So we're going to have Chaplain Carlos come and share God's word this morning. Carlos and I spoke on the phone a little bit, so I know a little bit of his story, and I'm excited to hear from you this morning. God bless you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
When I saw Brother Hector, I almost felt like taking off my shirt and everything. just to affirm him that he's okay. Amen? I want to just share some message with you in terms of our DNA as a testimony. You know, I always take risk when I share because I trust the Lord. And because when I trust the Lord and by the Holy Spirit, who is the third person of the Trinity, He has a way of making things happen, making things okay. Actually, if you can take your spiritual mind and go there, He has ways of making things perfect. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And so I wanna endeavor just for a moment to share something about the fact that as ministers, or as ministers, meaning anyone who receives the Lord Jesus Christ is a minister of the gospel. As ministers, these testimonies are not just for the church. They're for the world. See, we're supposed to be keeping that testimony vibrant. We're supposed to be keeping it alive. Not necessarily understanding what Bill Bright's steps were. That's good to know that. And there are other steps. But it's understanding that as we acclimate ourselves to those steps, that the Holy Spirit will make them alive as we share our testimony. See, we don't retire from the Lord. We might retire from work, but we don't retire from the Lord. See, we can't take a backseat to the things of God because the perfect DNA that He instilled in our spirit is predicated on moving forward by the mere fact of the testimony that we give on a daily basis. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank You. Father, there's so much to be said. My spirit is tempting to be overwhelmed by trying to get it all in. But You're greater than anything else. And so, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, right now, Father, I submit to You to have Your will, Your way, be done today through this earthen vessel of which I am. And Holy Spirit, I'm asking You to take control. I'm asking You to take my will and be the will of what You wanted to happen, that Your people, as well as myself, will be better because of what we heard. If I should deviate one iota to the right or to the left, that is contrary to the will and to the way and to the word of God, convict me, correct me, give me the grace to be self-corrected. But let Your will, Lord Jesus, be the one that we do here today. We honor Your presence, we exalt Your power, and we praise Your holy name. In Your name we pray. Amen. So very quickly, I was fascinated. I'm not that much of a learned person. Actually, I'm not learned at all. But the one thing that I do know, that the DNA is something that is inherent in the person of every person. Every one of you have a DNA which is distinct from each other, which talks about the uniqueness of God. But it's marred because of the fallen nature. However, the nature that we have, the spirit nature that we have, has a DNA within it and is perfect from its onset, and it never gets marred. But we have a propensity to go over to the carnal nature and do certain things that inhibit the ability of the perfect DNA nature within us to be able to continue to make us grow in the Lord. Am I talking to somebody here? And anybody understand what I'm saying? When I went to college, I hated biology. And when I went to college, I hated that kind of stuff. So I'm trying to give you something that's realistic about what you need to understand about the DNA in each one of us. See, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he gives us his spirit, with that spirit, he has a perfect DNA. And that DNA is activated only as we continue to give a testimony on a daily basis. Are you listening to me? And so the introductory scripture that I had for you, and I'm prone to because I'm a Teen Challenge graduate, one of the things that they do, they're real stickler about us learning the Bible. They really are a stickler about that. And I'm glad that they are. Are you listening to me? See, because it's in the Word of God. By the way, meditation has never gone out of there are fads that come and go. But meditation is constant. And if you want to have a vibrant testimony and that your perfect DNA nature within you is activated, you must meditate on his word day and night. Say, meditate on his word day and night. See, he meant that. The Lord meant that. It's us that we don't gravitate to that, and therefore we don't enjoy the benefits that he has with the promise. Anyway, that's a sidebar. You guys will have to pay me for the extra stuff that I give you. Amen? But it says in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony, and they did not love their life unto death. Death reminded me that I better keep within the time frame or Brother Paul is going to kill me. Okay. I always pick on the pastor in some way or another, but this is a God-fearing man. I could sense this from the one time I talked to him on the phone, and as he met me at the door, and he said, do not go over a certain time. I said, yes, I know you're consistent, you're godly, and you're gentle. And then the other scripture that I wanted to read to you was 1 Corinthians 5 and 6, that you were enriched in everything, say everything, by him in all speech and knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you and in me and in us. See, the change of life for a believer is a divinely confirmed by our constant giving of our testimony. I turned 66 the other day, but you know, I'm more apt to give a testimony about the scoundrel that I used to be when it's appropriately directed by the Holy Spirit today than I was 6 years ago. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Because I understood what is involved in a testimony. The world is listening and watching, and obviously the testimony has to be directed with a character of integrity that comes to the Holy Spirit via that perfect DNA, because we're doing everything that he wants us to do. He's directing us. Are you listening to me? I'll tell you about what a scoundrel I was so then you'll understand, my goodness, can God do that? Yes. God is still in the business of doing that. We're the ones that kind of allow ourselves to get deviated or get blindsided or get redirected by the enemy by focusing on the wrong things. Right. See, the testimony is a proof, an evidence, a witness, a proclamation of the personal experience that we have had with the Lord. Too many of us have an experience of mental cognition of knowing what the gospel says, and therefore we gravitate to it to the point of, it got to be good because everybody else around us is coming to church and everything, therefore let me do that. That's a good step. But God wants to give every one of us a personal experience so that it goes with that spiritual truth. Are you listening to what I'm saying? See, when I grew up, by the time I got to wherever I got to, I was an atheist. I actually set out to prove that the Bible was not true, because as a left-wing radical to the extreme, before you had radicals like today, I believed that the Bible was to subjugate the minorities. And I can articulate that language quite well, because I come from that background. So I set out to, I was fair to myself with my drug addictions and whatever I was involved in. I actually began to read the Bible from the beginning. Say beginning. You know, most of the time you ask Christians, did you read the Bible through this year? I barely read it. But you got to read it from the beginning. So I began reading in the beginning. I'm deviating from my notes because I'm looking at the clock. And so I began reading it at the beginning. And you know, I was fascinated by the stuff that I was looking at. This God who said, let there be, and there was, and it was good. And then I proceeded all the way through, and I'm running through something right now. I proceeded all the way through the book of, I always call it the book of Gideon. Immediately, the pastors get up because they know I'm being a heretic. No, the book of Judges, what Gideon is talked about. And you got to understand that when I went to Teen Challenge, I was on the run for armed robbery and murder. I was already a parole violator. I had been on drugs for 17 years or so, in mainline heroin and so forth and so on. I'm a five-time felon and convicted felon. So I'm on the run. Teen Challenge doesn't know that I'm on the run, but the person who's the head of the Teen Challenge, he was my stick-up buddy when we were out on the street and other things. So he let me in, but he didn't ask me what the problem was. Right, so he let me in, so I started reading. By the time I got to Genesis, to the book of book of Judges, I see that God did two things for Gideon while he's talking to him. And I come to understand, I didn't know anything about religion, so I couldn't speak, how you doing, brother? Bless you, brother. I didn't know none of that stuff. I just knew how to talk. And I said, God, you did two things for this dude here. I need you to do two things for me. Brother, that's sacrilegious. You talk to God that way? Yeah, I didn't know any better. And you know what? He didn't mind it. Because guess what? He did two things for me. Amen. See, first thing he did, he woke me up in the morning, one day at 3:15 in the morning. And the reason that it was hard, I already had withdrawn from my heroin addiction, and nothing could wake me up. And I said, God, if you're God, I want you to wake me up at this time. He did. And I went back to where I used to talk to God alone. I never wanted to talk to people about God because I thought they'd try to help God. God don't need nobody's help. And so I went back to God. I said, God, you did two things for Gideon. And I need you to do one more thing for me. I could have asked them to help me with the murder charges. I could have asked them to help me with my parole violation. I could have asked them to whatever. I could have asked, but you know, God knows when you're for real. Be for real. Because then your testimony comes from that perfect DNA and it stays and it just flows. Are you listening to me? And so I said, God, by this time, let me digress for a moment. I'll come back to this for a moment. One of the things that happened to me when I first came to the United States, I was harassed a lot by a certain sector of society. Now, I'm going to use the terminology we used to use that I don't use. I'm not a political correct person, and don't look at me from that perspective. Last time I said this, one of the person went, oh, don't do that. But anyway, I was in a community where the kids that are in the school that I was in, they were what we used to consider would be redneck people, right? And they treated me real ugly, real hard, which enabled me to exacerbate my prejudice perspectives. And so, as I was going to be taken to Teen Challenge, I told my wife, I don't want to go out on it because as sure as I know, I'll wind up with those rednecks. Well, my first induction center of Teen Challenge was Huntsville, Alabama. Are you listening? Does God have a sense of humor early in life? La verdad que sí. Yes, he does. And there were some of the most God-fearing people I met. There were some of the most God-loving people. And it was the one thing that God needed to break me from my prejudice. Many of us do not exercise our spiritual perfect DNA in the testimony because we are prone to keep certain idiosyncrasies. They're called sins, by the way. And certain shortcomings within ourselves. And prejudice is a major one. When I can come back, if I ever can, I'll explain it to you in a more detailed situation. So here it is, the second part that God is going to do for me. And I said, God, my wife is about to come to Huntsville, Alabama. I don't want nothing to happen to her. But on the way to the airport, if you're God, I would you like for you to for her car to have a flat on the way to the airport and she would miss the plane. Now, my wife didn't know that I prayed that. She probably would have killed me. But anyway, she didn't know that I prayed that. But I know that was hard. God couldn't do that. On the way to the airport, the car had a flat. And she missed the airplane. And she called me because I was a demanding animal. I had a lot of deficiencies in my life. And I told her, I understand. That was God. And a skeptical mind, even in Christianity, would say, oh, that was just that she put a pin in her in one of her tires because you must have told her. Well, I didn't. I already told you that. But the second part is she called the cab. You got it. And then he got me by doing that. It wasn't that I accepted the Lord and became my Savior that got me to that level. That got me into eternity. My name got written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He's got a rock with my name on it. It's in the book of in the book of Revelation, and there are other. And I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and I am made in His image, and I am made in His likeness. I know all of that. No. But I know God works on a daily basis. And I used a lot of my time, so I'm going to share just a few. Listen, when I went to theology school, I got a lot of holes in here. My wife says, the last time you shared, you looked like you were jumping to place to place. Yes, I was looking at two things, the clock and the pastor, and I'm doing both right now. But I want to share something with you. That when you have a testimony and you really follow the Lord, He is prone and prepared to use His power through an insignificant person like myself, and you are too. You're probably a lot better than I was, and that's okay, but you're still insignificant without Him. Are you listening to me? And so, when I, in spite of all this, God delivered me from the Amravia murder. And that's a whole long story about that. I don't want to take a lot of time on that. I remember one time I'm walking in. I'm praising God. They knew me in Bloomington Normal, where I went to as a man that always talking about Jesus. I meet somebody on the bus stop, and I would talk to them, and I said, can I pray for you? And they said, yes. And before the yes finished, I would have my hand on them. And they were like startled. Well, that's what I told them. I said, well, I pray for you. I pray for them. And then there was a person, and one day I'm walking into a bakery because I'm working in my shoe shop that God gave me the money to open up. The name of the shoe shop was Saving Souls. And I was walking across the street to go buy some bakery goods, and my back had given out real badly, and I just was praising the Lord. And as I walked in there, the Lord snapped my back, and He healed it. And there I was in the bakery. Praise God! God just healed my back. I'm talking to the bakery goods, no, to the people that were there. And then there was a person that in the town that I was in, I was never trained on how to witness. I became a witness. Hallelujah. By the power of the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. And then I was in that town, and they had heard about me and this crazy man, this crazy Latino man. And the priest couldn't do nothing for this family. The psychiatrist couldn't do nothing for this family. It's short and real quick, and there's a whole thing to be said about that. The mother was in the witchcraft. When she came to visit him, she left some demons in the house that were telling him to kill himself. I didn't learn about how to cast them out. I just read that you could. And because I was living the testimony, I endeavored to do it. Are you listening to me? It takes an old gangbanger like me, an old junkie like me, an insignificant person, and it flows His power through me. Are you listening to me? He could do that to you too. And so I went in there, and 30 years later, I'm not going to tell you that part, but 30 years later, I saw him on the bleachers when my granddaughter was graduating from ISU, and I looked up, and there he was looking as healthy as ever, gave me a big old grin. God had delivered him from that demon. He gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I casted him out. You know what I did? I took oil. Don't tell me where I found it. I just read the Bible, and I carry oil. So I took oil, and I went upstairs, and I anointed the bed. And I know, where does the demon show up? Over here at the top of the stairs. Okay, let's anoint that. Well, brother, where did you get that? Is that biblically correct? I don't know. You tell me later. But anyway, I did it. Are you listening to me? See, and then it was these are all different kinds of people. Black folks. These are Hispanic folks. These are white folks. I mean, God is no respecter of a person. He didn't tell me to go minister to Latinos. He told me to go minister. Amen. Now you're listening to me. So there's this middle class white lady walks up to me and teaches, and then all of a sudden the Lord says to me, tell her this. And I looked at her. I never met her in my life before. I never met her again. I said, the Lord would have you to know to trust in him with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. Suddenly, tears began to flow. How did you know what I was seeking? How did you know that I was seeking direction? I said, I don't know, but God did. Amen. Are you listening to me? See, but that's because you keep a vibrant testimony. And yes. Okay, I got 5 minutes left, so I think. All right. And so when God delivered me and directed me to different ways, believe it or not, what's standing here, it's only by his grace. I stand in front of you after Christ with the equivalent of 4 master's degrees. I became a school teacher in the public school system with 5-time felon. That's not supposed to happen. I was the director the supervisor of a department for the city of Chicago for emergency services. I called the shots. I sound like a gangbanger, right? Amen. And only God can do that. But you see, the reason we don't do some of those things for us is because we don't give him the glory. And the only way to really give him the glory once we get saved is by the mere fact of the vibrant testimony, because we know that God is God. Amen. He's still in that business, and he wants to do that for you. Amen? God bless you.
So we've got a picnic. The burgers are already cooking. But who wants to hear this guy come back and preach sometime? Huh. I'd like to invite the worship team to come on up, but I'd like to ask Carlos to pray for us, to pray not only for the Teen Challenge Group, but to pray for the West Hills community family. But also, how many of you are here today? You don't normally go to church here, but you knew Teen Challenge was going to be here today. Yeah, so you got some friends out there. Maybe some of you today would say, I've heard enough. I know I need to give my life to Christ. Pastor, would you pray?
Before I pray, I just want you to know that the simplicity in the spiritual realm is, Lord Jesus, I really need you. I've been backslidden. My heart has not been right. I've never done this, Lord, but I'm going to ask you to come into my heart. It's really that simple. God doesn't make things complicated. Father, we thank you today. We thank you for your visitation over this wonderful church with this caring pastor who has a love for you and manifested the love for his people that you have given for him to look over. We pray for a new anointing upon him right now, Father. We pray, Lord God, I pray in the name of Jesus, by you, Holy Spirit, that you would give him new favor and new blessings. Lord Jesus, open the windows of heaven and help him to see the latter part of the ministry to be greater even than the past. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for this congregation, for these people that have come, these brothers and sisters, or maybe not have known you yet, but they have come here and have felt and saw that the Lord is good. I pray that wherever they're at, Father, that they would allow you to give new grace, new insight, new motivation, to live to the Lord Jesus Christ, that he may draw all men unto him. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you do a new work in each of our lives today, starting with me. Bless, heal, Lord Jesus, resurrect, revive by you, Holy Spirit. We cover everyone with your blood over again. Let the new work begin. In your name we pray. Amen. God bless you.